Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
I want to talk in the next few moments about something that I believe is a very, very important weapon in the Christian's arsenal of spiritual weapons because we're in a battle. Our life is, Paul says, a spiritual warfare that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. In other words, the problem's not with your neighbor, it's not with your spouse, it's not with your friend, it's not with your employer, it's not with your employee. There's a spiritual battle that's going on. And so God has given us spiritual weapons by which you and I can win the war. Tonight I want to briefly talk about the weapon of praise, the weapon of praise. And then we're going to use that weapon, which is so exciting to think about that, right? Then we're going to use it because praise, the Bible tells us, is like a two-edged sword. It's powerful, it's effective. Look at it in Psalm 149. It says this, Psalm 149 on the blank TV screen. It says this. Now, wouldn't you know it, the one time I don't bring my Bible, I don't bring any notes, I don't do any of that, I have no screen at all. Can you bring it up just like on the side screen? Do that. Let's try that. All right, Psalm 149. It's a spiritual warfare we've got going on here. All right, the TV. Okay. Look at that. The TV is going to come on. May the praise of God. Way to go, Brandon. May the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands. Now, this is a psalm, and what the psalmist is saying is he's saying that when you and I are praising God, it's like a weapon. It's like a double-edged sword. Remember, it's in Hebrews chapter 4, the word of God is like a double-edged sword. It divides. It cuts right down into the spiritual realm. In fact, Jesus, in Revelation, has a double-edged sword coming out of his mouth. The words that he speaks have spiritual authority, have spiritual power. That's what praise does. When you and I are praising God, we're not just saying words that are empty or meaningless or reciting scripture, but as we're singing, as we're praising, what happens is there is spiritual power, it is a spiritual weapon, and it is fighting a spiritual battle. This is why it is very, very important to be in church at the start of the service. Don't say, well, you know, I just come to hear the preaching. No, you need to come and be a part of the worship because battle is taking place. Spiritual warfare is happening. In fact, we read this in Psalm chapter 50 and verse 23. He who sacrifices thank offerings honors me, and he prepares the way. Why? So that I might show him the salvation of God. When you're offering thank offerings, when you're offering sacrifices of thank offerings, you're praising the Lord. Here's what's happening. We're laying a pathway. We are involved in that moment in setting the table for spiritual victory. Spiritual victory in the service, spiritual victory for the church, spiritual victory in our life. How? Through our praise. In fact, when you come before the Lord, don't just come barging in to the Lord and say, God, I need this and this and this, but rather prepare your heart, prepare the way by offering praise. Psalm 100 says this. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. So we come before him with thanksgiving. We come before him with praise. Why? Because we're preparing the way. Another scripture says God sits enthroned on the praise of his people. He inhabits, another version says, the praise of his people. That when you and I are praising God, the presence of the Lord is filling the place. And when you have the presence of the Lord, powerful things are going to happen. And when you don't have the presence of the Lord, nothing's going to happen. This is why worship is, it's just giving everybody time to get here so they can get in their seat. No, worship is setting the table for what God is going to do. Praise, when you are having your devotions, waiting on God, thanking God, going through and saying, God, listen, I'm just so grateful. You've done this, you've done this, you've done this, you've done this. You begin to just praise him. Watch what happens in your life. It's a weapon. It prepares the ground. It is, our praise literally tears down walls. In Joshua chapter 6 and verse 20, this is the story of Joshua, you know, going around Jericho, having the children of Israel go around Jericho. God gave him this plan. When the trumpet sounded, the people shouted. And at the sound of the trumpets, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So every man charged straight in, and they took the city. What was the problem? The walls were high, and there was no way to take the city and breach the walls. What was God's solution to them? Walk around the city, and once you've done that, on the last day, the last time, then you give a shout, a loud shout. What's interesting is in Psalm 27, this word, the Hebrew word for a loud shout, is translated as a sacrifice of joy. When you give a sacrifice of joy, in other places, it's when you praise. When you give God a sacrifice of joy, when you're praising him, when you're shouting to him, when you're celebrating him, what happens? The walls that have been in opposition to you are going to come down. This is the power of the weapon of praise. Too many times, what happens is, we're too caught up in the obstacle, and we don't get a hold of ourselves long enough to say, you know what? It's not about the obstacle. It doesn't matter how high the wall is. It doesn't matter how big the problem is. What's important is, am I going to praise God? Am I going to get a hold of myself long enough to praise God with a sacrifice of joy and let God do the rest? You see it in the New Testament, James chapter 5. And here the context in James 5 is trials. The whole chapter is about trials. And here's what James says. This is a brother of our Lord. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. So the idea is you're in a trial. You're in big trouble. What should you do? And the idea is you're in trouble, and you're not only troubled on the outside, you're troubled on the inside. He says, pray. Then he says, is anyone happy? They're still in trial. But in the midst of the trial, they're saying this. They're saying, you know what? I believe God is bigger than my problem. I believe that God has a triumph in the midst of this trial, and he's going to do something fantastic. He says, let him sing songs of praise. And that praise will literally turn the situation around. You see an example of that in the book of Acts. I mean, we could go all over the scripture, but I'm gonna spend the balance of our time here. We're not gonna take a long time with this because I really think it's important that we put it into practice. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. So Paul has cast a demon out of a slave girl who was a fortune teller. No longer can she do that. She's heckled them. Paul eventually just turns, casts the demons out. Now our owners are like, you know what, now we can't make any money. So they go to the magistrates, they turn them against Paul and Silas. The crowd jumps in, and it says, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. It would have been a brutal, brutal beating. So they're flogged, their backs are beaten and filleted. after they had been severely flogged. So it's not just like a few lashes. Very possibly, and I mean, Paul has will have this happen throughout his ministry, but very possibly there's not any skin essentially left on their back. It's all cut up, all torn up. They were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. So the stocks now are designed to spread the legs, to elongate the legs, so that now he not only has a sore back, but now his legs are cramping. I mean, it's just almost unimaginable to be in that kind of situation. And then watch this, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. I mean, we don't know exactly what prompted that, what precipitated that. I mean, you have to believe that Paul is the one very possibly who thinks of it, because Paul has written about this same time he's written to the Thessalonians. And he has said to the Thessalonians, rejoice in the Lord always, and I'll say it again, rejoice. He will write to the Philippians the same thing, rejoice in the Lord. So here he is, he's in the cell, and he maybe says to Silas, hey, Silas. And Silas is like, what? Sorry, I followed you, Paul. He's like, I got an idea. You know what? How about you and I start singing? And Silas is like, you know what? I can't sing. I don't feel like singing. I don't want to sing. Paul, now's not the time for that. And Paul says, listen, if we sing and we praise God, God's going to do something powerful. You know, always in our life, we have to get a hold of ourselves. Here's the problem. You can't be true to your feelings. You have to be true to your faith. You can't live by how you feel. And invariably, trials make us feel terrible. But at some point, we got to get a hold of ourselves and we got to say, you know what? I'm in a trial and it's really bad. Some of you are facing a trial in your marriage. Things have blown up. You found stuff out. And there's no way, you just don't even know what to do. When you don't know what to do, and maybe the last thing you feel like doing is praising God, what you need to do is in that midnight hour in your life, you need to sing praise to God. Some of you, and you're in a situation, whether it's the finances, whether it's an illness, relational problems, whatever it is that you need, could be emotional distress, could be anxiety. You can't sleep at night. Maybe you're worried about something. Maybe you're depressed. Whatever it is, whatever the problem, they were praying and singing hymns to God. They're praising God. They're using the weapon of praise. And as they do that, the other prisoners were listening. You see, when you and I are praising God, in the midst of a difficulty, there's a lot of people that are watching us. The world is watching. The world is listening to what we say, how we say it, how we approach life. And when it doesn't make sense in the natural to us or to them, how things could be resolved, but we're faith-filled and we're praising God, that's a testimony to them. And they're going to be watching, not only listening to what we're saying, they're going to be watching for what happens in our life. Read what happens here. It says, suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And all at once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. They're praising God, and what you and I would have never imagined would have happened. An earthquake, but a special kind of earthquake. An earthquake that opens doors rather than collapsing walls and ceilings. An earthquake that causes prison doors to fly open and chains to fall off. That is an unusual earthquake. That's a supernatural earthquake. That's a miraculous earthquake. Listen, when you and I praise God, God's going to shake things up to accomplish miracles in our life. Everybody's chains came loose. And then we read this. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, fell trembling before Paul and Silas, and then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took them, washed their wounds, and then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them, and he was filled with joy because he'd come to believe in God, he and his whole family. I mean, isn't that interesting? I mean, this man who had no interest in Paul other than just trying to keep him from escaping had probably been the source or the instrument of cruelty. Now all of a sudden is a convert. Comes to Christ, not only him, but his entire family, baptized now, he's feeding Paul. Talk about a divine turnaround. Musicians, you can come. You see, when you and I praise God, things change. Listen, when we're worshiping the Lord, when you're praising God, things change. Things are changing. God was working as Paul was singing and Silas was singing. God was working in the hearts of that jailer's family. He was working in that jailer's heart. And when it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, "Release those men." Now talk about another divine turnaround. You see, God was working in the magistrate's heart. He was working in the jailer's heart. He was working in the prisoner's heart. And all of it was happening because Paul and Silas were singing. It wasn't just people who heard the songs, but it was Paul and Silas were singing, and anybody related to them, even if they weren't hearing the songs of praise, were affected by Paul and Silas' song of praise. You know what? You make a mistake. We make a mistake if we think that somehow, because we don't feel comfortable singing, or we don't think we have a voice to sing, that we don't have to sing. God wants to hear your praise. He wants to hear you thank him. He wants to hear the shout of praise. Some of you are way too quiet. And God is saying, listen, when you raise the volume, I'll give you help. And that's going to stretch you. Some of you want to whisper everything. And there comes a time when you just have to shout loudly the goodness of God. Some of you are embarrassed of what other people are going to think. And you know what? There's going to come a time when you're going to have to choose between worrying about what other people think and worrying about what God thinks. Better to worry about what God thinks than what other people. Worry about what God thinks, and he'll take care of what other people think, right? I'm just simply saying, God wants us to be more concerned about him, about worshiping him, praising him, celebrating him, sacrificing joyfully before him. And when we do that, it unleashes his power in our situation in ways we cannot begin to imagine. If you'd ask Paul and Silas to script, what is your praise going to do? Is praise powerful? Paul and Silas would have said yes. Will God work in response to it? They would have said yes. If you'd asked him, what is he going to do? They probably would have said, well, probably we're going to get out of this somehow. But they never would have imagined an earthquake. They never would have imagined the kind of earthquake that opens prison doors and causes chains to fall off. They maybe never would have imagined the turnaround in the jailer and his family, that the guy who had been cruel to them a few hours before would now be washing their wounds and feeding them breakfast a few hours later. That's the power of praise. In a matter of hours, everything changed. That the magistrates who had falsely and unjustly imprisoned them and ordered them beaten were now coming to them and saying, you can go free. And when Paul says, hey, you're not getting off that easy, then all of a sudden they're like apologizing all over themselves. That's the power of praise, to turn things around. And tonight there are many people in this place. You need a divine turnaround. You need God to help you to reverse a situation, to take a situation that has stymied you, that has stopped you, that has kept you in from moving forward. You need a miracle in your marriage. You need a miracle in your job. You maybe need a piece of property to sell or a house to sell. You need a breakthrough somewhere. I'm just simply saying, praise prepares the way for God to work. Praise is a weapon by which we fight the spiritual battle. The shout of praise can bring the walls down. The song of praise can open the prison doors. So right now, here's what we're going to do. If you're needing God to give you a breakthrough in a way, I'd like us all to stand. Obviously, we're going to praise God, right? So what I'd like you to do is, if you're needing God to come through for you, just step out from where you're at, because we're gonna gather down front. We're going to praise God. There's going to be a part of your faith that's involved in stepping out, a part of your faith in lifting your voice, but you need a breakthrough. Just get out from where you're at and come down front right now. We're gonna have a organized response, and then we're going to worship a little bit, but... I really want us to do something at the start before we just sing songs. What I'd like you to do is I would like us as a church, and especially those who've come forward. So this is going to stretch some of you. You've come forward, and some of you are no doubt quiet and this doesn't come as easy for you. It's still good for you to do it. So I'm not trying to trick anybody, but I'm trying to help you do something that spiritually as an exercise is very valuable. You know, when Joshua told the children of Israel to shout to the Lord, he wasn't saying, you know, I know some of you are quiet and that's okay, so don't worry about it. But if you're one of those who really gets rowdy at the Chiefs game, then you can go ahead and shout. No, it's everybody. We're all gonna give a shout of praise. I want you to think about your problem, and then what I want you to do is I want you to give God a joyful shout of praise, like the wall has already fallen, like the victory's already been won, like you can't believe it. Come on, let's give it. Lord, we praise you.